Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Pulling it out, it all falls down. I'm telling you, it all falls down. Pulling it out.
Y'all can't handle the truth.
Of holidays known as Christmas, something that we should continue or to observe for our children's sake, regardless of all the information that is in the world, whether we find it in the Bible, the internet, or in many different books, it can be proven that Christmas has its origins in pagan worship and is an idolatrous practice. Is it okay and harmless for us to continue to celebrate this so-called holiday known as Christmas because it is for the kids? We welcome you to join us as we examine the scripture to see what God says and feels concerning these things. That is, if you can handle the truth.
All right, shalom everybody. Most High, in the name of Christ, bless you. We thank you for tuning in to another episode of our show, Can You Handle the Truth? My name is Hasha Yug. I'll be your host this evening. And with me is Brother
Dawa Yud. Shalom, brothers and sisters out there.
All right. Originally, we was planning to go over a continuation of last week's show, which was building a house to God. We was going to continue it with, I was going to go over the topic, bringing forth fruits to the Most High. And Lord willing, we'll bring that topic out in the near future. But I was listening to one of the brothers' shows, Friday show, which aired at 7 o'clock, where the brother was covering certain things dealing with Christmas, and they did a real excellent job. And it kind of inspired me to go into this topic because we're in that time of year. Also, the brother Godwin did a show at 9 o'clock Saturday morning from Kings to Priests, where he dealt a lot of things concerning Christmas. And they also bring out a lot of information about Santa Claus. But there was one thing that me and Dawyer had always wanted to hit. Because one of the main things that people always tell us when we talk to people about this pagan holiday known as Christmas, they always come out with the excuse about for the kids.
Yeah.
What about the kids?
Yeah, it's for the kids. It's all about the kids.
So when we look at, is it a good idea? We have to really look at it. Is it a good idea? And is it helpful, beneficial for our children to be dealing with this thing known as Christmas? Once we get a clear understanding of what it's dealing with and what the Bible says and what we're supposed to be teaching our kids and how we're supposed to deal with our kids, then we should be able to make a better conscious choice whether we should bring our kids up in this philosophy or not. Because really what people are doing is when they find out that it's an idolatrous practice, they don't want to go through the trouble of not dealing with it with their children or stopping it because it's something that they enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know like far as my children, they've been keeping the Passover and the High Holy Days from a young age, so they don't really care about the Christmas. They look forward to the Passover.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they look forward to the Feast of Dedication, things like that. That's what they look forward to. So I want to open it up with Mark, the 10th chapter. Little foundation here. Mark 10 and let's start at verse 13.
Mark chapter 10, verse 13. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, For of such is the kingdom of God.
So when you hear the statement where Christ said, suffer the little children to come in unto me, and sometimes, you know, it is a suffer. It is a, you know, you go through certain troubles, in this, especially in this society, to try to bring your kids up in Christ. Because everything is going, you know, opposite to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're trying to teach them not, you know, you send them to school, they want to teach your kids about Christmas, they want to teach your kids about Thanksgiving, they want to teach your kids about Easter, and you got to go through the trouble of even pulling them out of school, not allowing them to go to, what's that party, Halloween parties and these different parties. You know, they have parties on the Sabbath. You got to suffer these things to bring your kids to Christ. You got to bring them up, bring them into Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So, go ahead, read that again for me, verse 14.
Mark 10:14. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God.
All right, read on.
Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms and put his hands upon them and blessed them.
So Christ put his hand, took them up in his arm, put his hands upon them and blessed them. I want to show something else. I want to read this again. But before we read this again, let's read chapter 9, verse 35 and 36.
Mark chapter 9, verse 35.
I want to paint a picture for everybody.
But he sat down and called the 12 and saith unto them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all.
So he and sat down. So okay. Let's keep it in mind. Christ is sitting down, right? And he told his disciples, if any man decide to be first, he shall be last of all. I mean, the one of you that's the greatest servant is the head. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of men don't look at it that way. They look at themselves as the head, like the Gentiles look at themselves as the head. I'm the head. You
mean the last. You said the head. Well, say it. I'll read it again. If any man desire to be first.
First is the head.
Okay.
If you desire to be the head.
Uh-huh.
Then let him be the greatest servant of all.
Oh, okay.
That's what basically he's saying.
Okay.
All right, read on. But the key I wanted was in the beginning where it says, and he sat down. Now go ahead and read verse 36.
And he took a child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them.
So he took the child in his arms. So he's holding the child on his lap, right?
Yeah.
So let's read verse 10.
Chapter 10.
Chapter 10 and verse 16 again.
Mark 10 and 16. And he took them up in his arms and put his hands upon them and blessed them.
So we're looking at a scripture where parents was bringing their kids to Christ. Christ was taking them up in his arms, holding them, you know, blessing them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this time of year is where people say it's Christ's birthday, where even though they have no biblical proof or historical proof that Christ was born on this day. But there's many proofs saying that this day is the winter solstice, and it's actually the a pagan holiday where they say that Mithra was born, or Tumas, whatever you want to go, whatever version of mythology or whatever version of sun god worship you want to deal with, it's a pagan god birthday, not the birth of Christ. But anyway, people are observing it as the birth of Christ, but who are they bringing their children to, and whose arms are they sitting on, and whose lap are their children being placed upon to receive blessings?
Santa Claus. Mm-hmm.
So that right there, when you think about it, is putting them up in place of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Now the question is he looked upon as a god also? Let's read this thing. I have a little something I want to read. We're going to read it a couple of different areas in it. I got it from the site. It's called itthing.com/the-history-of-Santa-Claus. And you can go on the site if you want to. It's called itthing.com/the-history-of-Santa-Claus. And it gives you a lot of information on the history of Santa Claus. Matter of fact, some of the pictures I got up on the page is from this site right here.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to read this at the top right there.
All right, it reads, he sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good. He is the man of the hour, the guy that the kids of all ages have been waiting for all year long. He is Santa Claus. All
right. Like I was saying about the show that the brothers did Friday, a beautiful show, Repentance is the Key, the brothers went into this. That's one of the things they brought out, and I want to add on to it a little, where it talks about, now when you look at what it says, he sees you when you're sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
He knows when you're awake.
Mm-hmm.
He knows if you've been good or bad. How is a man able to know all these things?
Mm-hmm.
That's something that you would say only God or Christ. God and Christ knows.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones that know when you're good or bad. They're the ones that know if you're sleeping and awake. So this guy is coming up in here as a God. They put him up as being a God.
Exactly.
And it's funny how people bring their children to him, and he's supposed to have some type of a mystical power, and also the elf that's his sidekick is also supposed to have some type of mystical power. Mm-hmm. I want to read something about the elf before we go into this thing. I want everybody to get understand what Santa Claus and his elf is dealing with. We're gonna read some more later, but I want to just lay the foundation on it now. Just read this right here on the elf.
All right. You want me Elf Wikipedia?
Yeah, you don't have to read it.
I'm just saying so they know if they want to look it up. If you want to look up Elf, it's on the Wikipedia, the free encyclopedia. And it reads, an elf, or plural elves, is a being of Germanic mythology. The elves were originally thought of as a race of divine beings endowed with magical powers, which they use both for the benefit and the injury of mankind. Keep going.
That's enough on that. Yeah, so they were a being with magical powers. I just now want to hit something real quick on magic, because a lot of people may say, you know, they see no harm in dealing with a creature that has magical powers. So let's read something about in the law concerning that before we start really digging into this. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 18.
All right.
It's a scripture we pull out a lot, but I think it's really needful in a topic like this to bring it out.
So where are we going?
18, starting at verse 9.
Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 9.
No, in effect, just jump to the point. Jump to 10.
Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 10. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire.
Now, when you go to the thing about passing through the fire,
mm-hmm.
That was a custom that was used for Molech.
Mm-hmm.
And we also understand that Molech is also a version of Tumas.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're going to bring out also as we go on in the show is that Tumas and the Santa Claus that people are bringing their children to,
mm-hmm.
Santa Claus is another version of Tumas.
Mm-hmm.
As you go down the history, which we're going to bring out later on, which was known as a character that was known as Odin,
mm-hmm.
which another name, which is just a German form of Tumas.
Mm-hmm. Which go back to the sun god worship.
Yeah, it goes back to the sun god, which Tumas is a deity from the ancient Samaritans, which goes before the flood.
Mm-hmm.
All right, read on to that.
I'm going to read verse 10 again. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 10. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that uses divination.
Now, when you talk about divination, divination is witchcraft. Divination is a form of witchcraft. All right, read on.
Or an observer of times, or an enchanter.
Now, an enchanter is somebody that practiced divination, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's all going back to being a witch. All right, read on.
Or a witch, or a charmer. Or a consulter with familiar spirits.
So things like a witch. A witch is the same thing. He's a witch, witchcraft, enchantment is all sorcery and magician. Even they show you in movies, or you know, they show in movies in this world, they make light of a lot of wicked things. Who they show flying? They show witches flying. They may use a broom,
mm-hmm.
but they flying through the sky. Like even in what's that movie they have Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, they got Harry Potter. They got
Harry Potter. They show them flying at times on brooms and things of that nature. You know, so Santa Claus fits in all that because he's flying. He has a horse that has powers to fly. That's all dealing with witchcraft and him being a witch or a sorcerer. But really, he's above that because they're really putting him up as a god, especially when they make the statement. He knows when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been good or bad. The one we're supposed to be focusing on who knows when we're good or bad is the Lord and Savior Christ.
Exactly.
Because he's the one that's going to judge everybody. He's the one we're supposed to be bringing our children up in, not worrying about. I guarantee if you was to go to the majority of the kids in this society and ask them, who knows when, if you're good or bad, majority of them probably say Santa Claus instead of saying Christ.
Yeah, I see that.
And that's who they worried about, seeing them being bad instead of worrying about Christ.
You want to know one of the reasons is because of those gifts. See, Satan knows how to entice you. You know, he knows how to, you know, reward you or make you, you know, serve him. You know what I mean? He's going to give you something that you enjoy to be enticed by, you know, and start following him. So even when you go all the way back, I'm just going to touch it briefly. Even when you go all the way back to Tammuz, you know, the sun god, the originator of all this Santa Claus crap that was born on December 25th. When you go all the way back and do your research on that with Semiramis and Nimrod, and after Nimrod died, Tammuz was born. And she was supernaturally impregnated, which is the same story we always talk about as Mary and Jesus Christ, right? Yeah. So that tradition came into the churches too. And that Nimrod and Tammuz was the same person. Tammuz was reincarnated and was Nimrod all over again. But his name was Tammuz.
Exactly.
But he was the sun god. So the son and the father was as one, just like that made it into the church. The son and the father is the same.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So with saying that, Nimrod was born on December 25th. Okay. So now we see these things as we see today. I just want to bring it up a little bit that when Tammuz died, okay, he got killed by a wild pig. Okay. And when he died, his blood shed it and spilt upon a tree stump. So that tree stump grew overnight into an evergreen tree.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So this is where the evergreen tree even came from in the first place. This is why you cut down a tree, you put it in your home, or you go buy an artificial tree or whatever. It's going right back to the traditions of the evergreen tree of Babel, because it was a sacred thing to them, this evergreen tree. All right. Now, on December 25th, every December 25th, Nimrod will put gifts underneath the tree. You see?
Yeah.
So this tradition came about just like as children when we wake up on December 25th, there's gifts under there, and they say it was Santa Claus that put it there.
Exactly.
But it's just like the story that, no, it was Nimrod that put it there. It was the sun god that put it there. You see what I'm saying? So a lot of people got to do their research and see that. So he's enticing you by saying there's gifts there. So how do you know I'm being good or bad? Oh, if I've been good, I'm going to have gifts on December 25th. So it goes all the way back to the customs of the time of Babel.
Exactly. Exactly. All right, let's read on in that.
All right, so where we at? Deuteronomy chapter 18, and I'm going to read verse 12. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of the abominations, the Lord thy God do drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For these nations which thou shalt possess, hearken unto observer of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee so to do.
So we're not supposed to be dealing with, when we see things dealing with mystical characters and things of that nature, what we're supposed to do is sit our children down and read the scriptures to them and give them understanding that all that stuff is evil.
Exactly.
That stuff is evil. That's suffering your children to come to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Not having them partake of that, go sit on his lap and take a picture.
Yeah.
And thinking that that's beneficial for them. That is not beneficial for them.
Mm-mm.
Okay, we're going to deal more with that issue, but let's go back to Mark. Because I want to make some more points on this character called Santa Claus and people bringing their children to this character instead of bringing their children to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things we was discussing the other day, I like to bring this out, about people like to leave cookies and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
For this character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll leave cookies and
cake and milk.
And milk.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a story in the scripture where they were doing the same thing, but they were doing it to a god.
Yep, exactly.
You know, and then people, as a matter of fact, let's hit that story real quick.
Yeah.
And Bell and the Dragon.
Mm-hmm. That's where you want to go to?
Yeah. It's going to read a couple of verses in it to try to bring home a point on that. Read verse, read 3-8.
Man, if I could find it.
It's right after Baruch.
Yeah, it's right here. So read chapter 3.
Verse 3.
I mean, excuse me, ain't no chapter. There's only one chapter. Verse 3. The Babylonians had an idol called Bel, and there were spent upon him every day 12 great measures of fine flour and 40 sheep and 6 vessels of wine. And the king worshipped it and went daily to adore it. But Daniel worshipped his own God. And the king said unto him, why dost not thou worship Baal?
Excuse me.
Who answered and said, because I may not worship idols made with hands, but the living God, who hath created the heaven and the earth, and hath sovereignty over all flesh.
See, and that's a key thing, too, because we don't have the right, according to the commandments of God, to be dealing with any other thing that's perceived as a power or is perceived as a God or has any type of power than the Heavenly Father in Christ. We're not supposed to be dealing with witches and wizards and folk tales and fables and creatures such as Santa Claus telling our kids that he knows when you're good, he knows when you're bad. Yeah. We're not supposed to be dealing with things like that. That's evil. That's going into idolatry. All right, read on that, please.
Verse 6. Then said the king unto him, thinkest thou not that Baal is a living God? Seest thou not how much he eateth and drinketh every day?
So that's the thing. You're thinking that this thing don't exist, but look, when the kid get up in the morning, the mom and pop left cookies out and milk.
Exactly.
And the thing is gone.
Mm-hmm.
So thinkest thou not that Santa isn't real? Look, he ate all the food. He ate the cookies. He ate the cake.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you said
sometimes, yeah, because when I was young, you know, either my mother or my grandmother, whatever the case may be, would leave a cookie out or a couple cookies and some milk out. And when you wake up, you'll see that one of the cookies is bitten. Some of the other cookies is gone, you know, and then part of the milk is still left in the cup, but some of it is drunk. So it makes it look like that he came by, he stopped by, he ate some and he drunk some.
Yeah.
That's what that's what they made it appear like. To appear like.
And they drank the Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
All right, read 6 again.
6?
Yeah.
Then said the king unto him, thinkest thou not the Baal is a living God? Seest thou not how much he eateth and drinketh every day? Then Daniel smiled and said, O king, be not deceived, for this is but clay within and brass without, and did never eat or drink anything. So the king was wroth and called for his priests and said unto them, if you tell me not, who is this that devoureth these expenses, ye shall die.
So that's enough on that, though. Mm-hmm. But see how he's mad because the truth is coming out. The priests, the king was wroth. And that's the same thing about this society when people are getting angry when the truth comes out. They don't want to hear the truth. And a lot of money, says, see, not all these expenses, because a lot of money was being spent on this guy daily.
Come on, man.
It was keeping a lot of people occupied, a lot of people at work. People was making money off of this thing because they were selling the stuff that was given to this idol to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one thing about idols when you go in the scriptures. A lot of idols is bringing a lot of revenue to the kingdom, like Santa Claus. Santa Claus, the part of them deceiving the children, saying that this thing is real, is parents is connected with the parents going out and spending a lot of money this time of year. So you think people want you to, or people that's into this kingdom or running this empire want you to be telling people that Santa Claus is not real and stop spending your money buying kids gifts?
No, it's on the contrary. And matter of fact, there's a commercial. I forgot the commercial, but it was a husband giving his wife a gift, and he goes on to say that Santa Claus got it for you or something like that. I forgot what commercial it is, though. But it goes to show you, and then she looked at him real funny with a funny face, like ain't no Santa Claus. And he was like, no, for real, though. Like, it was Santa Claus. So making the people, like the children, to believe that there is a such thing as Santa.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So It's out here.
Let's go to one more scripture on that Acts 19. Because right. I want to make a point about how people look to these idols for money and revenue, and they get angry when they feel that they're going to lose money.
Mm-hmm. So Acts 19 and what?
Read Acts 19 and verse 24.
Acts chapter 19, verse 24. For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen, who he called together with the workmen of like occupations, and said, Sirs, ye know that by this craft we have our wealth. Moreover, ye see and hear that not only at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands, so that not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised, and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worships.
So all Asia and the world mm-hmm. worship Diana, which is nothing but Artemis, which came from the Greek Empire as Artemis. Diana was just a Roman version of that.
The Queen of Heaven.
Same thing, exactly. Mm-hmm. Going back to the Queen of Heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Another pagan custom, which derived all the way back to ancient Babylon.
Yep.
You know, because they said Artemis is the goddess of fertility. Or another term they use, the virgin huntress.
Mm-hmm.
And she's also associated with the moon. She was prayed to for childbirth. Women used to pray for her for childbirth. And
the fertility god.
Yeah, they said she was a virgin. Also a virgin brings you back to the Roman Catholic philosophy of the Virgin Mary.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just all the same thing, man, going around in circles and mm-hmm. with different names. And even to this day, it's being worshipped as an Easter.
Mm-hmm. A star.
And, yeah, a star. And they also said that it was the husband and brother of Tumas. Of Tumas, you know, Tumas, which was a Samaritan deity. So these pagan customs are just moving from kingdom to kingdom. You know, they're just moving from kingdom to kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And as we see here, there was a lot of money being made by people were making a lot of money. So one of the things people was concerned about, they wasn't concerned about the gospel and what was true and what was wrong, what was idolatry and how you served the Most High.
Mm-hmm.
But they were more concerned about the money that was being lost.
And also concerned about their worship of their God, just like we just read here. They're concerned about the money, but just like we see in today's time, they protect their God. They protect the sun worship. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Like leave my Queen of Heaven alone. Mary is the Queen of Heaven. They'll die for Mary, the Queen of Heaven. Like, they're protecting that. Like, mm-hmm. they're holding on to that. You know what I'm saying? No different than they're holding on to Diana right here, the Queen of Heaven.
Yeah.
You know, they hold on to it, you know. They're making money, plus they're really serving their God.
Yeah, they have that lust for mm-hmm. it. You know, they have that passion
yeah.
and a lust for it. Like, it's a work of the flesh, like it tells you in Galatians. You know, we may look at it as, damn, that's nothing, but it tells you it's a lust. It's a passion that even if they wanted to stop it, there's a war that's going to go on between the spirit and the flesh concerning worshiping an idol.
Could I pull out something real quick?
Sure. All right.
Let's go back to, let's go to Genesis real quick. I just want to bring out this point. You're going to rewrite through, and I just want to bring out the point you're making. But according to Scripture, it's the same trick. Go to Genesis chapter 3. It's the same trick, you know, with Adam and Eve. It's the same thing. And that's what I just want to bring out for the people out there to understand that it's a lust thing. All right? Let's go to Genesis chapter 3. Start at verse 1 and read down all the way to verse 6.
Genesis 3 and 1. The serpent was more subtile than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made.
Mm-hmm.
And he has said unto the woman, yea, God has said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman mm-hmm. said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die.
So Eve knew what to eat and what not to eat. Meaning she knew what the laws were, what to do and not to do.
Yeah, she quoted the law.
Yeah, she quoted. She told Satan straight up, I can't eat of that fruit. All right? Read on.
And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God does know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil.
But her lust was knowing. Well, first of all, before I jump the gun, because we didn't go to the next scripture, let me make this point first before I continue, because I was jumping ahead. Now, when you read verse 3, where it says, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. So she knew better. Now, how many Christians have we spoke to, brother, without a doubt, that will tell them that December 25th, Jesus Christ was not born on, and they'll concur with us and agree, and then we'll say that the origin of it comes from everything we just mentioned about Semiramis and Nimrod, Tammuz, and they know.
Yeah.
But yet they still say, but I'll still serve it because God knows my heart, and I'm serving Jesus on this day. How many times do we hear that?
All the time.
All right. So with saying that, there's some people out here that might be listening to this show today, and the seeds being planted now, that they'll start doing their research, and they'll feel like, you know what? You guys are on point. The Most High is dealing with you, bringing out this information. But guess what? Reverse 4 now, in verse 5.
And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God does know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil.
Read.
And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat.
Now stop. So what made this woman eat of that fruit then?
She seen something there. She said it was pleasant to the eye, that I'll get pleasure from it. It'll make me wise.
That's the point. She wanted wisdom. Her lust was wisdom. She wanted to have that wisdom, right? Mm-hmm. She wanted to believe what the serpent told her, what the devil told her, that she was going to know good and evil and be as the Most High God and have that wisdom. But hold up. When you go further up, she knew not to eat of it because God said, if you eat of it, you shall surely die. So she gave into her lust anyway because it felt good to her. That's what she wanted.
Yeah.
So read on.
Verse 7.
No, read verse 6 one more time all the way through.
And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eye, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat.
Read.
And gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat.
So stop there. So her lust was wanting that wisdom, right? Now she presented to her husband, his lust fell for the woman. He did what the woman told him to do, which a lot of kings fell when you read these scriptures, brother. A lot of kings fell, a lot of kings of Israel, even great Solomon fell over women. You see, that was his lust. It felt good to give into the woman. But the woman gave into that wisdom of the world, or wanting that wisdom and wanting to be, you know, have that wisdom.
Yeah.
Right? So that was her lust. And it felt good. I'm going to say this, right? And I'm going to give it back to you. I'm going to say this. When a person that knows committing fornication is wrong, the scriptures say thou shalt not commit fornication or adultery, but when they're having sex, it feels good. You see, when they're in between the sheets, it feels good. All right? When a thief steals something and covers something that ain't his and take it and go home and behind closed doors, it's like a present to him. He opens up. It feels good. It's free. It's his. And it's something that he enjoys doing, and he's profiting off of it. It feels good. But everything that feels good, it doesn't make it right.
Exactly.
So these gifts, when you're, you know what I'm saying, December 25th come, December 24th, you can't wait.
You're shopping,
you run around, you can't wait to have that smile on your face, you go to sleep, you wake up, all these gifts, yeah. It feels good.
You're receiving gifts, you're wondering how people feel when they're getting your gifts that you gave them.
Exactly. Secret Santa time, all this crap. It feels so good. The lights, it looks pretty. All this stuff, man. And you think it's something good, and the feeling of it is, you know, beautiful. But yet, it is sin, man. You know, with that, I'll give it back to you. I just want to bring that point out.
Yeah, that's a good point. Let's, matter of fact, let's read some more on this right here. Let's read.
All right.
We'll go back to let's go back to Mark, the 10th chapter, and then we're going to read this. We're going to read. Matter of fact, read this right now.
I'll read this first.
Mark 10, yeah.
All right. This is right back to the history of Santa. All right. It says, as a matter of fact, in parts of Europe, St. Nicholas is still portrayed as a bearded bishop. And what's this word right here? I can't even see it. In his robe. That's all I can say right now. He was later claimed as a patron saint by many diverse groups, from archers, sellers, and children to pawnbrokers. He is also the patron saint of both
Amsterdam
and Moscow. It's kind of small, man. I can't really see. All right. Centuries later, numerous parallels have been drawn between the man known as Santa Claus and the figure of Odin, a major god among the Germanic people. These include the beard, hat, and the cloth bag held by servants, which, according to folklore, rather than carrying toys, was used to capture naughty children.
So when you see that picture, we have that in that picture too. When you look in that site, if you stroll up,
mm-hmm.
You see the picture of the picture that you see. We're gonna be some more, a little more.
Okay.
The picture you see, the black and white picture, is supposed to be a picture of Odin. And
mm-hmm.
after that black and white picture, there's a cartoon picture with a man on a horse with eight legs. That's another picture of Odin. All right. Now, when it talks about his servant, that's supposed to be the picture with him and the elf. The elf is supposed to be a magical character. The elf, in a lot of cultures, especially in Europe, was used as a demonic image of someone that would capture the kids that were bad and take them away.
Put them in that cloth bag?
Yeah, they used that bag to put the kids in the bag. So the bag wasn't used for toys. The bag was used to capture kids that were bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we even saw a video on YouTube where they were going around in certain towns in Europe, and there was a man dressed as Santa Claus, and there was another man dressed as an elf, which looked like a monster, like a zombie type of monster, and he was grabbing people's kids.
Yeah, like Halloween characters wearing masks that are really portrayed as demons.
Yeah.
And a lot of that stuff went into, when they said being bad or good, a lot of their traditions, they were kind of like scare you into being good. They were trying to scare you into being good. And these parents would actually, the videos we seen, these parents would actually sit and let these people come into their homes and scare the hell out of their children, man.
Yeah, we saw it. They showed that on the video.
Yeah, that's awful, man.
And the fear of being bad was towards Santa Claus instead of being towards God and Christ.
And these were their traditions.
Yeah, that's their tradition. They're teaching their children to fear Santa,
mm-hmm.
and to be raised, to raise the fear of Santa instead of raising the fear of God and Christ.
And even some of them went so far to where they had belts or whatever objects they had in their hands and would beat the children. They're not even their kids. Just go and beat the children.
Exactly. All right, let's read on. Uh-huh.
All right. It continues to say, Odin was sometimes recorded as the native Germanic holiday of Yule, leading a great hunting party through the sky. Several books describe Odin as riding an eight-legged horse named Sleipnir that could leap great distance, giving rise to comparison to Santa Claus reindeer.
Yeah, so the deer was how they got the idea of using reindeers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the horse that was able to leap great distance is how he flew through the sky riding on the horse.
Exactly.
Right, you know?
Children were described as placing their boots filled with carrots, straw, sugar near the chimney for Odin's flying horse, Sleipnir, to eat.
All right, go to the next page. All
right.
So basically, they will use the boots. Like we have modern Christmas, they hang up boots with toys. They were using the boots to leave food for the horse.
Well, but today's time, they got this little cloth looking boot. It's like a sock,
yeah,
really.
But that's
just
going to explain how that custom derived into that.
Okay. Odin would then reward those children for their kindness by replacing Sleipnir's food with gifts or candy.
So he would place gifts and candy in the boots.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where that custom is deriving from. All right, you know.
This practice survived in Germany, Belgium, and Netherlands after the adoption of Christianity, and can be still seen in the modern practice of hanging up stockings at the chimney in some homes. This practice, in turn, came to the United States through the Dutch colony of New Amsterdam prior to the British seizure in the 17th century, and involved into hanging up socks or stockings at the fireplace.
So that's where that custom, all these customs are deriving from these evil things.
Mm-hmm.
This pagan god known as Odin, which also was known as a hunting god, which goes right back to Tumas, like we said. A lot of you see the traits go right back to Tumas and sun god worship.
Exactly.
So it's an idolatrous practice. We're not supposed to be dealing with these things. When you start doing research, there's a lot more information about this that you can find when you do research on it. And there's a lot of information on Christmas in general that proves that it's pagan, it's idolatry, and we're not supposed to deal with it. We're not supposed to be bringing up our kids in it. So let's go back to a scripture we opened up with. I want to read that again, and we want to jump into what we're supposed to be dealing with and what we're supposed to be bringing our kids in.
Let me pull out this one scripture, and I'll give it to you. This one, man.
All right.
Let me go to Jeremiah 5 before you move on, because it goes with right what we're saying, because a lot of people enjoy keeping these days regardless of what you tell them. And a lot of people enjoy keeping these days, but Lord's will right now, you know, his sheep hear his voice, and some people will repent and start following the truth. But even when we were into the world, we would keep these days, and we would have fun in these days. We actually believe what we heard also. You know what I'm saying? We enjoyed it also. We enjoyed it. So let's read Jeremiah chapter 5, read verse 31.
Okay, Jeremiah 5 and 31. The prophets prophesied falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means.
Stop there. So these so-called pastors today, which are false prophets, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It goes right back to false Christ, false prophets, all right? False meaning liars. You know, they're liars because they so-called sit in the office of Christ, and they're teaching and spreading lies like December 25th has everything to do with Christ. That is a lie. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So when you read this scripture, it says the prophets prophesize falsely, meaning lies, and the priests bear rule by their means, meaning the priests rule over you, and this is their foundation. It's set on lies. You see what I'm saying? Read on.
And my people love to have it so.
Say that again.
And my people love to have it so.
And my people love to have it so because the people love lies.
Yeah.
Leave me alone. Let me continue in my lie.
Exactly.
Let me continue following December 25th because in my heart, God knows my heart, and I'm not serving that pagan Nimrod and Talmud you're bringing out.
And Odin, that's not me.
Nah, that's not me. I'm not doing none of that. When I keep this day, I'm doing it in honor of Jesus Christ.
Mm.
No, see, you not really understand that your foundation is set on lies, and it's going to continue to be in lies. In order to not be in a lie, you gotta turn from that lie and now continue to follow truth. That's the only way you're not going to be alive no more. Let's read that one more time. I'll give it back to you.
Right. The prophets prophesize falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. And why will you do? And what will you do in the end thereof?
Yeah, because you following this pagan tradition, what's going to have to happen at the end thereof? What is that saying?
Yeah.
Talking about judgment.
Yeah, what you going to do in the time of judgment?
What are you going to do? You think the other nations, the way they're serving their traditions and stuff, that God is going to allow that to happen in the kingdom? Are you serious? No, because it originated on lies. So when you're following December 25th in honor of Jesus Christ, in your mind, you're honoring a false Christ. That's right, you heard me. A false Christ, a false pastor or preacher that you're listening to is full of lies, and he's giving you lies, and guess what? The end of those lies is going to equal death. Why? Because Revelation tells you that in the time of the kingdom, without the gates of the kingdom, are going to be who? Murderers, fornicators, idolaters. Sorcerers, and liars.
And idolaters.
That's what it talks about.
Exactly.
So you're not going to make it to the kingdom, and that's the end that it's referring to.
And it's a worship of idolatry.
Mm-hmm.
And when you deal with idolatry, you're basically dealing with worshiping Satan, because these things are connected with Satan. You may not think it's connected with Satan, but God commanded us that we not to do these things.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to bring out some scriptures to show you that. But matter of fact, before I go on, go to
all right.
Back
to Mark.
Go to 2 Timothy.
Oh, okay.
The 4th chapter. So I want to make a point on what you just said.
All right, cool.
Second Timothy, verse 3.
2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine.
So the sound doctrine is we bringing out the scriptures. The scriptures is showing you that we're not supposed to deal with idolatry. We're mm-hmm. not supposed to deal with these pagan practices. We're not supposed to be worshiping other things that people are putting up as gods. They're putting Santa Claus up as a god.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a god. It's a false god. It's an idol. It's going into idolatry. The tree is going into idolatry. Which mm-hmm. you're going to bring out a scripture on that also.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you know?
2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers.
So that's just what you're saying. They love it so. They find prophets that will prophesy, that would agree with all these things, that would say these things are okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Co-sign it, so to speak.
Exactly.
You know? And they're happy with that. All right, you know?
I'm going to read it again. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables.
So what is Santa Claus? A fable.
Fable. Yep.
What is Christmas? A fable.
Exactly.
So they turn in their ears from what the Bible says,
mm-hmm.
and because they have a lust to continue in Christmas, they're going to find a prophet or a teacher or a church that's going to tell them it's okay.
That's going to accept it.
But yet, there's a day of judgment coming.
That's right.
And in the day of judgment, when you read the Bible, you're not gonna prevail. And your children are not going to prevail. That's why it's a harmful thing to say you're doing it for your kids. You're doing something that's hurtful to your kids is what you're actually doing.
That's terrible, man.
If you want to do something for your kids, this is what you're supposed to be dealing with for your kids. Let's go back to Mark.
Mm-hmm.
You got to read that one more time. Mark
10 and what?
Start at 13 again.
Mark chapter 10, verse 13. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me.
And like we said earlier, to bring your children to Christ in this society that we're living in, you have to suffer. It's sometimes difficult, you know. You suffering because you're giving up things, you're taking your children from enjoying things that other kids are enjoying in school. But you got to suffer it. You got to bring your kids to Christ. You can't bring your kids to Odin.
Mm-mm.
You can't be bringing your kids to Tammuz.
Nah.
Or going to the mall, bringing them to Santa Claus, because that's what you're bringing them to.
Exactly.
You're supposed to bring them to Christ. And like I said before, it's supposed to be Christ's birthday, and you're bringing your kid to Tammuz. You're bringing your kid to Santa Claus.
What the heck?
That shows you. It's not his birthday. It's Santa Claus's birthday. It's Tammuz's birthday. It's Odin's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
You've been tricked. You've been bamboozled.
Sitting on a stranger's lap. Just sitting on his lap.
Mm-mm-mm. So we're supposed to bring our kids to Christ so they can receive blessings from him. How do we bring them to Christ? We're going to deal with that. But we're going to finish in this verse, and we're going to show you how you bring your kids to Christ.
When Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein.
Yeah, there's a lot of meat on that, because when you're learning things about this is what God wants and this is what God doesn't want, you're supposed to humble yourself as a little child and mm-hmm. be obedient. Because a kid, when you start teaching a young child about Christ, you think he's going to rebuke you and go against you? He's hungry to learn. My kids, when they were young, they didn't come against me and try to fight and wrestle with me. They looked at the scriptures, they looked at what I was bringing the information, and they was happy to receive it. Now they look forward to the Passover. They look forward to people coming together for the Feast of Dedication. They don't care. They really don't care about Christmas, Thanksgiving. The only time they might feel, the youngest ones might feel a little bad is because they see all these other kids getting together and they not going to school on that day and they having a little party. But when you bring out the scriptures, they understand what's going on, but they may get a little caught and feel like they're missing something, but that's something we have to suffer to bring our kids to Christ.
Yeah, let me bring out this point real quick.
Sure.
Because as a child, you know, a child's like a sponge, you know, especially at a young age, they haven't been corrupt yet.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
They're not set in their ways yet. They're more acceptable in hearing what a mother and father has to say to them. You know, they'll be in tune into my daddy telling me this, and they're going to follow what their daddy says. You see? So that same thing Christ is trying to pass on in people. You got to become like a little child. You got to erase all that data that was given to you and start fresh. You got to be reborn. Because when a child is reborn, when a child is born, a child knows nothing.
Yeah.
But except what the mother and father teaches them. So this is what the Most High God is showing us through Christ, that you got to have this mindset in you when you come to serve the Most High God through Jesus Christ. You got to be humble, and guess what? You got to delete all that data that's in your brain and start fresh.
Exactly. That's a good point, because a lot of people, when they come into Christ, they try to bring other garbage that they learned in Islam or whatever other philosophy with them. They try to hold on to that old baggage.
Mm-hmm.
But you're supposed to receive the kingdom as a child and erase all that garbage.
Mm-hmm.
And come as a new person, as a baby.
Exactly.
Into Christ. All right, before we continue, I want to take a quick break, and then we're going to go into some scriptures about how we bring our children into Christ and how we raise them up in Christ and how important that is, that we do not bring them to Odin. Exactly. Do not bring them to Tammuz and bring them up into these pagan philosophies of this society we're living in. So we'll be back in a few minutes. We're going to take a couple promos.
Shalom, this is the brother Aqua Ra'ib with the Body of Christ Church. If you enjoyed today's program and you live in the Atlanta area, then we invite you to continue your studies with us by attending our weekly Sabbath class. Our Sabbath classes are taught every Saturday afternoon beginning at 4:30 p.m. If you'd like directions, please call us at 877-871-1712. That number once again is 877-871-1712. Now back to today's show.
War for Georgia.
The brothers from the Body of Christ Church welcome you to listen to our show, Are You Smarter Than Your Pastor?, airing every Tuesday evening at 8 p.m. In these difficult times, we often look to spiritual leaders for guidance and instruction in our lives. As Christians, followers of Christ, should these leaders speak from their mind or from what is written based on the Word of God? This show will examine things said by men and women claiming to be God's ministers to reveal whether or not they are speaking God's Word and doing His will. 1 Peter 4, verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We hope you tune in and listen to our show. Thank you.
You know, some people want to be saved, but they don't know how to be saved. And when they go to church,
the Body of Christ Church invites you to listen to all our programs on Blog Talk Radio. These programs are meant to edify the listener regarding repentance and good works according to the Holy Scriptures. The weekly program schedule is Sunday at 2 p.m., Tuesday at 8 p.m., Wednesday at 7 p.m., Friday at 7 p.m., and Saturday at 9 a.m., all Eastern Standard Time. Our Spanish broadcast is at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time each Saturday at blogtalkradio.com/ICDC. Please accept our invitation to call in to our show at 646-716-7749. Your comments or questions are eagerly encouraged, whether they agree or disagree with the viewpoints expressed by those involved in the program. Again, call in now. Please dial 646-716-7749.
Everybody, shalom. We're back. Thank you for tuning in to our show. The topic we're going over is Christmas. Is it for the kids?
Mm-hmm.
And what we left off addressing was that we have to bring our kids. We have to suffer to bring our kids in Christ, to bring our kids up in Christ. And we're going to read that scripture one more time, Mark 10:13 all the way down to 16. Then we're going to go into some scriptures dealing with bringing our kids up in Christ.
Mark chapter 10, verse 13. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms and put his hands upon them and blessed them.
So Christ took the kids up in his arms, put his hands upon them and blessed them. And like we said earlier, many people are looking for blessings from Odin, or what they know in the world as Santa Claus, instead of blessings from Christ. They're raising their kids up in the fear of Santa Claus and the love of Santa Claus for blessings, instead of the love of God in Christ for blessings and for judgment of being evil. And that's what we need to raise our kids up in. So let's go to let's start this part of the show with Proverbs 22 and 6.
Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it.
So when our children are young, we're supposed to train them in what they're supposed to be dealing with, so when they get older, they're not going to depart from it. A lot of people, when you train your children up in Santa Claus, that's why a lot of people right now are so embedded in pagan worship as Christmas and Easter and things of that nature, because when they were young children, those were the things that their parents raised them up in.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the things they were taught. And they look forward to doing those things with their children. So the cycle continues. Instead of breaking that yoke, they continue to do the things that are wrong and that are hurtful, thinking that they're doing something good.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move on. Let's go to Ephesians, the 6th chapter. There's some meat I want to get out of that.
Ephesians chapter 6.
So it's very important for us to break the chain and to go suffer whatever we have to suffer now to bring our kids up in Christ and break this chain of ignorance where we're bringing our kids up following pagan customs such as Christmas, Thanksgiving, New Year's. It's time right now to deal with this thing, and don't continue having your children worshiping these false philosophies. All right? Well, you got Ephesians 6 and...
One or
start at verse 4.
Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath.
So one of the ways, when you look at that statement, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, one of the main ways we see people, when you see certain individuals angry with their fathers, they don't talk to their fathers. Mm-hmm. One of the things, their fathers lied to them when they were coming up.
Yeah.
You know, fathers say they'd pick you up, they never picked you up.
Mm-hmm.
Or fathers wasn't in their lives training them in the way that they should go.
Mm-hmm.
Their fathers were in their lives bringing them. They wasn't in their lives raising them and showing them the right things that they needed to do. So that would cause a child to have a lot of hatred for their parents, whether it be father or mother. If they're not in their life instructing them and showing them how they're supposed to walk upright, yeah, there's wrath and hatred there between a child and a father. But you're supposed to be there as a father training your child and showing him how he's supposed to be raised. You know, the right thing and the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
All right, read on, Bill.
And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord.
So you have to be part of that child's life. And when you talk about bringing the children up in the nature and admonition of the Lord, I want to read this because this is in the Greek lexicon about and concerning the scripture right here, and it makes some good points. It tells you that the nature to bring the child up in the nurture of the Lord is to instruction. The whole training and education of a children, which relates to the cultivation of the mind and morals, and employs for this purpose and command and admonition, now reproofs and punishment. It also includes the training and care of the body, when in adult also cultivates the soul by correcting mistakes and curbing passions. Instructions which aims at increased virtue. So we're supposed to be teaching our children virtue. We're supposed to teach our children how to curb their passion from things that are evil and wicked. We're supposed to be cultivating their minds and what's right and wrong, and teaching them truth, being truthful with them, not teaching them lies and fables and stories and bringing them things which are satanic, mm-hmm. basically satanic. And the information is out here to show us the history of these things that's going on, that a lot of people are raising their kids up in and thinking it's harmless, but when it's really satanic and evil. You're not supposed to train your kid up in something that's evil, and you know it's evil. That's not what we're supposed to be dealing with. We're supposed to be training and educating our children and cultivating their minds, teaching them not to do things that are wrong, teaching them not to steal, teaching them not to be a womanizer. And that's something that a lot of people, especially in our culture, growing up in the inner cities, they'll teach their children to be players and pimps and how to get women, how to, you know, move from women to women. If the father ain't teaching them, he got an uncle there teaching them
yeah.
how to be a womanizer.
Mm-hmm.
That's an evil thing, man. We're not supposed to teach our children how to be evil and break the commands of God, but we're supposed to be cultivating their minds on how to fear God and Christ. Not fear Satan,
mm-hmm.
not fear Odin, but how to fear God and Christ, and how to look for rewards from them when you do good, and how not to do evil, how not to do bad. That's what a father's supposed to be dealing with, and a mother's supposed to be dealing with. Now, you got anything on that?
Nah, you basically said it.
All right, I want to get an example of that. Let's go to a quick example of that with our forefather and how the Most High felt about that. Let's go to Genesis 18 real quick.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go to Genesis 18 and 16.
Genesis chapter 18, verse 16. And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which is hath spoken of him.
So the Lord is talking about blessing Abraham, but the reason why the Lord is dealing with Abraham is and going to bless Abraham and deal mm-hmm. with him the way he's dealing with him, he said, verse 19 says, for now I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him,
mm-hmm.
and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. So the Lord is going to bless Abraham and deal with Abraham, because Abraham is a man that's going to instruct his children. He's a true father. He's not going to bring his children up to serve two minds and say it's nothing. I'm just doing it. I'm doing it just because it's fun and Christ understands and knows. No. The Most High say he know that Abraham is a man that's going to instruct his children according to the commandments of the Most High. Mm.
Mm-hmm.
That's very important.
It's very important.
And it's in the commandments. We're going to deal with that. Let's go to a couple more scriptures and look at that, that the Most High instructed us that we're supposed to do that. And for us not to do that, it's not only evil.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, it's the same thing. It's sin.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Let's go to Psalm 78 real quick.
Yeah, I had that too.
Psalm 78. Let me get a couple more. I'm going to let you get a couple after that if you want. We'll just hit this in Deuteronomy.
Yeah.
Psalm 78. Start the first verse.
Psalms chapter 78, verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old.
So, I just want to read this. Hold that and go to Matthew 13, because a lot of times when you deal with Old Testament scriptures, I like to make a connection with that in Christ, because people try to say, well, that's the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's read... to show that that's dealing with Christ, let's read Matthew 13, 34 and 35.
Matthew chapter 13, verse 34. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that he might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world.
Yeah, things of old that was kept in the darkness. So go back to Psalm 78. So it's all talking about Christ. These are all the words of Christ.
Psalm 78 and 2. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us.
Our fathers have told us.
Right.
You know?
We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord.
So we're not supposed to hide this information from our children.
Mm-mm.
We're not supposed to hide from our children that the Santa Claus is of Odin.
Mm-hmm.
We're not supposed to hide from our children that Christmas is a celebration of Mithraism.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a celebration of that came from the ancient Samaritans of sun god worship.
Mm-hmm.
And dealing with Tumas.
Mm-hmm.
And also went into Egypt as Osiris, Osiris.
Mm-hmm.
And that garbage. We're supposed to let our children understand what these things are. And that we are not supposed to deal with these things. And we're going to bring scriptures out to show you that. We're not supposed to deal with these things.
Mm-hmm.
We ain't supposed to hide them from our children. All right, read on.
Verse 4, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generations to come the praises of the Lord, and his strength, and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children.
So it was a commandment that we're supposed to make it known to our children. When you talk about his wonderful works, we're supposed to have our children understand about the coming out of Egypt. All the great things the Most High did, the opening of the Red Sea, the killing of the firstborn. We're supposed to sit our kids down and teach them these things. People teach their kids down and tell them these folk tales and these made-up garbage, but they don't tell their children about all the great things that the Heavenly Father in Christ did for us, the great sacrifice that Christ did for us.
Exactly. That the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children.
See, a nonstop. That's what we're supposed to be going from generation to generation, but instead we go from generation to generation serving Christmas.
And Easter and Thanksgiving.
Those are things we're teaching to our kids.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, you know.
That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God.
So they might set their hope in God. So who are you supposed to look for a present, for a gift?
The Most High God.
That's who's supposed to be looking for blessings.
Mm-hmm.
Spiritual blessings.
That's right.
Not no cardinal garbage. Putting that cardinal vibration on your kids.
Materialistic gain on the regular.
Let's read down to verse 8.
Yep. That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God.
And that's what we do when we continue to go into these idolatrous practices. We continue to not keep the Sabbath day. We continue to worship how we want to worship. We continue to worship in our idolatrous practice and say, well, we're doing it for God.
Mm-hmm.
That's being stubborn. That's not setting your heart upright with God. You got to serve God the way he commands us to serve him. And we're going to go in the scriptures and show you what he says about these days. Lord willing, we have time to go into that. But now let's jump to the law in that. The law in Deuteronomy 6.
Yep, I have that too.
Okay. All right. All right, after that, you know.
No, it's all right, because you're hitting everything that I was going to hit. We'll just keep going naturally. So Deuteronomy 6 and what else? Where do you want me to start at?
Start at 1 again.
Start at 1?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1. Verse 1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, the judgments, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whether ye go to possess it. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou thy son, and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged.
So we're supposed to keep the commandments and the scriptures in Christ. And we're supposed to teach it to our children and our grandchildren as long as we live. We make every generation that comes of us, we're going to make sure that they know
exactly
the commandments of God.
Mm-hmm.
They understand how to serve. We're going to bring our children to Christ, as we read in Mark the 10th chapter. We're going to bring our children to Christ and make sure that they understand that this is what they're supposed to be dealing with, regardless what we see going on around us.
Mm-hmm.
As for me and my house, we're going to serve God.
Exactly.
All right, read on.
Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in a land that floweth with milk and honey.
And the reason why we didn't increase and we didn't stay in that land is because we didn't do those things. We went after idols as we doing this day, going after idols. And the same idols we're going after now are the same ones that was back then, just on the different names, and they twist up and play around with the customs and the names, but it's all the same thing. It's all going back to devil worship, Satan. All right, you know?
Verse 4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. All
right, I want to make another point. I want to bring it back, because I know people like to say that's the Old Testament. We're going to bring it up to date with Christ. We're going to continue to read that, but I want to bring it up to date with Christ. Go to Mark 12 real quick, Mark 12, 28, to show you that Christ said the same thing, that this is the great commandment.
28 to 30. Yep. Mark chapter 12, verse 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceived that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all, the commandment is, Hear, O Israel.
When he said the first of all the commandments, he said the most important. That's what he's saying, of all the commandments. All right, you know?
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment.
So when it talks about love the Lord with all your heart, your strength, your soul, and your mind, that's what it takes. That's what it takes a lot of time, is all your strength to keep the commandments of the Most High, especially in a wicked and evil society like we're in right now. That's why the scriptures talk about suffer your children to come, because sometimes it's very difficult. You know, you may do things that's, you know, it may be real hard. The flesh is fighting. You're in this battle.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to take all your strength, all your might, all your soul to continue and walk in that path that the Heavenly Father in Christ laid for us to walk,
mm-hmm.
and not be defiled by this world. It's going to take all your strength to fight these demons off of you.
Exactly.
All right. What verse you at now? Is that it?
That's it in Mark.
All right, let's go back. Let's go back to
Deuteronomy 6.
Yeah, because it's saying the same thing. Read 4 again. It's the same commandment. This is what Christ was quoting.
Deuteronomy 6 and 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And
basically what he's saying is you take all your strength and all your might to do his commandments. That's loving him, keeping his commandments, putting all your strength into it to fight these forces, the demonic forces that's trying to have you go against the commandments of the Heavenly Father in Christ.
And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up.
So you see that? It says, and these words that I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. I mean, you're supposed to keep it in your mind. And it says what? And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children,
mm-hmm.
and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house. So what are you supposed to be talking to your children about?
Yeah, when you read these scriptures, and people out there that don't really know much about the feast days of the Lord, and also there's many, many different laws pertaining to us, with morals and instructions, you know, dietary laws and all different kind of laws, but yet and still, it's the Most High's word. So we're supposed to keep the Passover. You talked about it earlier about the history of the parting the Red Sea and killing the firstborn of Egypt, and the Lord saying, "Let his people go." And he had to show his strength of letting his people go, so they could know the power of the Lord is real. And these days is days to be remembered on the deliverance of the Lord. Okay, giving honor to the Lord, not giving honor to another God. And that's what's taking place today. We're supposed to teach the children what the deliverance was of the Lord, like the Passover, Feast of Tabernacle, you know, Day of Atonement. You know, these different things is days that we got to give honor to our Lord.
That's for the kids. That's what's for the kids.
Yeah, we got to teach them early while they're young. That's what the scriptures are telling us. So as they get older, they won't depart from it. But now that the world looks at these things, we're supposed to serve what we just said with all our might, okay? And this world today, with all their might, is serving Easter and Christmas and Thanksgiving. These are the things they're serving with all their might.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the things they need to understand, that your heart ain't right with the Lord by doing this.
Exactly.
You know?
And the other point is, too, like the scripture in Proverbs 22:6, where it talks about teach your child the way he should go.
Mm-hmm.
And when he's young and when he's older, he shall not depart from it.
Mm-hmm.
When you're teaching him about Thanksgiving and Christmas, when they get older, they're not going to want to depart from that.
Exactly.
Because what they're doing is they forming bad habits. And bad habits are hard to break.
Exactly.
So you want to teach them the right habits, so when they get older, they're going to have good habits, and they're going to be straight. It's going to be, they're not going to want to go out and smoke when you was teaching them and watching them since they were young.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're used to doing it, now they got a demon they got to fight. If they were used to worshiping all this pagan garbage, now they got demons they got to fight. So
mm-hmm.
you're not doing them no favor.
Mm-mm.
You're not doing them a favor. If you want to do them a favor, you're supposed to teach them the commandments of the Most High, how to be righteous and walk upright before God and Christ. That's what we got to deal with. Read verse 14 for me.
I'm going to start verse 13.
Okay.
Deuteronomy 6:13. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and shall swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods or the gods of the people which are round about you.
So the gods of the people that are round about you,
mm-hmm.
again, when you go into that Christmas thing and the Thanksgiving and the New Year's, these are all gods that are round about us.
Exactly.
We're not supposed to go after that. We're not supposed to teach our kids to go after that. And when we find out that it's wrong, we're supposed to repent and get our children to repent of it. Teach our children what's right.
Mm-hmm.
Not continue to follow these things because it feels good.
Exactly.
Or because what your mother going to say? What God in Christ going to say? That's what we got to deal with.
I'm going to read verse 15. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth.
You hear that? The Lord thy God is jealous. He's
mm-hmm.
jealous. He doesn't want us dealing with other philosophies. And matter of fact, go to 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. I want to pull that out real quick. If you got anything else, just
I want to go to Jeremiah 10, man.
All right, we'll go over there after that. Let's right. hit this first.
Yep. 1 Corinthians what now, 10?
Let's go to 1 Corinthians 10 and 20.
1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 20. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God.
So when you see people doing celebration and doing customs that are contrary to the Bible,
mm-hmm.
and you bringing your children up in it, these customs are to devils.
Mm-hmm.
The customs and traditions and holiday mean holy day that we're supposed to be observing and bringing our kids up are the ones that are contained in the Holy Bible. If it's not in the Bible, if it wasn't given to us by God in Christ, we're not supposed to be dealing with these things. Because the scripture just told us that these things that they sacrifice into are sacrifices unto devils.
Mm-hmm.
Christmas is a sacrifice unto devils. Are you going to bring your kid to sacrifice unto a devil? Who's going to do that?
Mm.
Well, that's actually what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Read that again for me.
But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the table of the Lord's table and the table of devils.
So you can't do both. You can't say, I'm going to worship Christ, but you know what? I'm doing Christmas anyway, but I'm doing it for Christ. You can't mix the two.
You can't do that.
You can't do it. It's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Read 22, because that's what we read. The same thing we read in Deuteronomy. Show you that it's talking about the same thing.
Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he?
See, he's going back to provoking the Lord to jealousy, because we're supposed to be serving one God. We're supposed to be following his word, following Christ. We're not supposed to be dealing with Christ and then dealing with pagan customs.
Mm-mm.
And teaching it to our kids? for the kids. I'm doing it for the kids. Mm-hmm. You know how ridiculous that sounds when people say that? That's the worst thing you can say is you're doing it for the kids. If you want to do something for the kids, repent and get them to repent. Show them the righteous way. That's for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best thing you can do for the kids. All right, what you got, man?
Go to Jeremiah 10 real quick. Right. We only got a little bit of time. I just want to sum it all up with Jeremiah 10 real quick. We know this is a famous scripture we all go to when talking about this topic and this dealing with Christmas. All right, Jeremiah 10 and 1. All right, read it all the way down to verse 5.
I want to post up my tour while we read 2 because there's some meat in there. I want from what we just read.
Yeah, I'm going to bring out a lot of points.
All right. Hear ye the word which the Lord spake unto you, O house of Israel. Thus said the Lord, learn not the way of the heathens, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathens are dismayed at them.
We'll stop there anyway. So, So we see that he's talking to the children of Israel in verse 1. All right, so that's his audience, the children of Israel. And he's letting them know we're not supposed to learn the way of the heathen. Which everything we talked about today about the place of Babel, okay? So in the time of Babel, we talked about earlier about Nimrod and Semiramis, or Semiramis, either way you want to pronounce it. But when you look at that, you'll see that Tammuz came about in the worship of the sun on December 25th, okay? So these are the ways of the heathen. The evergreen tree growing overnight, okay? Bringing gifts under the tree, Tammuz or Nimrod, the same person, on December 25th brought gifts, okay, on that day.
And it's all going back to worshiping the hosts of heaven because it said, be not dismayed of the signs of heaven, for the heathens are dismayed at it.
Exactly, because right back the signs of heaven, Nimrod being the sun god, going right back to the sun, right back to the worship of the sun, the moon, and the stars, right back to astrology, right back to magic, right back to sorcery. So right back to everything we talked about. So we're not supposed to learn that way. So going right back into Christmas, December 25th, Santa Claus, the elves, the Christmas tree, the ornaments, the ornaments on the tree, the star, all that on top of your tree is going right back to astrology. The wreath, the mistletoe, all these things, the Yule log, all this stuff is all traditions and ceremonies that came from the other nations. So these are the things we're not supposed to follow. These are of the other nations.
And as we read in Corinthians, it's sacrifices unto devils.
Exactly. So read verse 3.
For the custom of the people are vain.
Mm-hmm.
For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers that it move not.
So right back to the evergreen tree again, which we talked about, is the spirit of Tammuz and Nimrod. The Babylonians, it was a sacred thing for them to worship this evergreen tree. We said it earlier during the show. We're just summing it up again. These are the customs of the other nations. So why do we have this tree in our home? In honor of what again? This evergreen tree is not in honor of Jesus Christ.
Absolutely not.
So it's in honor of a devil. Okay? But you don't want to believe that a lot of people out there because to you, you think it's innocent. But when you do your research, you see it's far from innocence, man. It's going right back to serving the devil. Satan himself and his traditions in honor of his son, okay, which is the worship of the son on December 25th. And that's going right back to the evergreen tree. But
and with the thing with the evergreen tree, when you see how he says, for the custom of the people are vain,
mm-hmm.
but one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe.
Mm-hmm.
That's what a lot of people are doing right now. They're going out in the forest, they find a tree. If they don't buy one from the store, that's already made up. They're going out. They're chopping it up.
Yeah.
They bring it home. They put it in a tripod. That's why it says they fasten it. I mean, it's painting the picture for you.
It's letting you know.
A crystal clear picture.
Exactly.
It says they deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers that it move not. And that's what they're doing right now.
And those ornaments that go on a tree, you know, like the crystal balls, those little balls they got up there or whatever, that's in honor of the sun.
Exactly.
All those ornaments, and then when you be seeing the stars, and they put all that little stuff up there, that's an honor right back to the winter solstice, right back to the honor of the sun, the rising of the sun.
Yeah.
And a lot of people call the sun energy. That's where we get our energy from. You know, a lot of people got all different kind of clever little terms that they put on it and spins on it, but yet it's in honor of the sun.
That's why a lot of people put that star up top.
Exactly.
That star going right back to sun god worship, or they'll put a female angel.
Mm-hmm. Right back to Semiramis.
Semiramis, exactly.
Yeah. Read verse 5.
All right. This right here shows you that it's a idol. It's mm-hmm. a god. Verse 5. They are upright as the palm tree, but speak not.
Mm-hmm.
They must need be born because they cannot go.
Mm-hmm.
Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good.
So this tree that you're honoring is supposed to be in honor of Christ, right?
Mm-hmm.
But no, this tree is in honor of a different God. But this different God that you serve, guess what? He's mentioning right here. That God can't move. Remember when you went into the Bell and the Dragon, you went into the customs,
yeah.
and we talked about the cookie and the milk and all that. They pretend that Santa really came to your house, but it's a fable. It's a lie.
It's a lie.
There's no life in him. You know, the Most High God created the heaven, the moon, the sun, and the stars. He created it. So you're worshiping something that he created. He is the creator, not the sun, okay? The Most High created the sun for his purpose. But you're worshiping a thing, and you're being afraid of a thing that doesn't exist.
That's another thing they say, too, about Santa Claus. He knows when you're naughty and when you're nice.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's going to reward you if you're good and if you're bad, like they used to say, he punish you. He'll come take the kids away.
Be not afraid.
Be not afraid. They can't do good or evil because it's phony.
Exactly. It's all man-made, made up. We know the spirit's coming from Satan because you're worshiping the devil. But Satan can't prevail against the Most High God. Satan can't win that battle. You're supposed to serve God and not go into that garbage that's out here in this world. I want to pull out this one more scripture real quick. Huh? You want to pull out?
I want to close it with the 12.
All right, good. Yeah, no, good. I'll pull it out now. We're going to go to Deuteronomy 12, and we're going to end it with this then. Where do you want me to start at?
30.
Deuteronomy 12 and 30. Take heed to thyself that thou be not snared by following them, after that they be destroyed from before thee, and that thou inquire not after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? Even so will I do likewise.
So basically that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
These customs that these nations were serving, cutting the tree out of the forest, that custom was there when we read it right here in Deuteronomy, that we're not supposed to go after these customs.
Nope.
And people saying they're doing it anyway for Christ.
Yep.
The scripture, he just told you not to follow their customs.
Mm-hmm.
All right, read on.
Thou shalt not do so unto the Lord thy God.
So you can't do that for Christ.
You can't
do Christmas and say I'm doing it for him anyway. Mm-hmm. He knows my heart.
You can't do it.
Yeah, he knows your heart is evil and rebellious.
Mm-hmm. For every abomination the Lord which he hateth, have they done unto their gods.
So what they're doing, God's telling you he hates these customs.
Exactly.
They evil.
Mm-hmm.
See?
For even their sons and their daughters, they have burnt in the fire to their gods. And you're talking about it's for the kids.
Yeah, it's for the kids.
And they were burning their children on the sun worship day, which was December 25th. And guess who was being sacrificed? Their kids.
Their kids. But what you do, you bring your kids to Molech
mm-hmm.
in the mall and mm-hmm. have him take a picture with him.
Mm-hmm. Sitting right on his lap.
Sitting on his lap.
Verse 32. What things soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it.
So we ain't supposed to add nothing to these scriptures. We ain't supposed to take nothing away. We can't add Christmas to what God says for us to do.
No.
And we can't take away the high holy days, like the Feast of Dedication. We can't take that away. We can't take away the Passover and don't do it. Because that's what people are doing. They're not doing the Passover.
Exactly. I want to go to this last scripture. This is Isaiah 45:19. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Verse 20. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. And that's what's wrong with you people. Well, when I say you people that believe in December 25th and believe that as Jesus Christ Day, that is a lie. The Most High said he speak in righteousness, okay? Everything about the tree and the evergreen tree and Christmas is a lie. The Most High said, seek ye me in vain? No. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. So with that, we hope that the class was edifying. And we pray for ourselves and for those out there to repent and turn back to what is truth. Can you handle the truth, or do you want to continue in lies?
And Christ Christ is for the kids. Bring your kids, suffer your kids to come to Christ, all right, and not idolatry. So we say, with that, we say shalom.
Shalom.
If you would like to contact us or learn more about the Body of Christ Church, you may do so by calling, emailing, or by visiting our website. Our telephone number is 1-877-871-1712. Our email address is bodyofchrist@ureach.com. Ureach is the letter U, followed by the word reach. So that's bodyofchrist@ureach.com. Our website, thedocc.com, contains our telephone number and email address, as well as audio and video biblical lessons and other information geared toward edification in repentance and good works. Again, our website address is thedocc.com, so please feel free to connect with us today.